you're a coach working with high-performing athletes, if you're a coach working with high school or even middle school athletes, we all have to deal and manage with egos. But is ego the enemy? That's the subject in part two of my conversation with author Ryan Holiday. Let's go. Hey, I'm Jeremy Boone, and welcome to the Coach Your Best podcast. If you're a first-time listener, it's great to have you. You're in store for a real treat today with my conversation here, part two, with author Ryan Holiday. If you're a regular listener, great to have you back. Hope you've enjoyed the past few shows that we've put up on iTunes here just in 2 weeks. Two different episodes with Nick Winkelman, part one with Ryan Holiday. Had a great research, you should know, around internal and external training loads with Sam Robertson, ton more. But here in part two, Ryan and I talk about his new book, Ego is the Enemy, which is actually out tomorrow at the time of this recording on June 14th. We'll give you links of where you can get and purchase the book. We'll put it in the show notes at Athlete by Design. You can get it on Amazon, off Ryan's website. We jump into just a ton of great conversation built around what happens when your accomplishments become your worth. We all deal with egos. Big egos are a staple in the world of high performance and successful athletes. So how can we all do a better job at managing egos, dealing with egos, whether it's our own, whether it's egos of coaches and athletes that we work with. So I think you're going to enjoy this conversation just as much, if not more, than part one in his book, The Obstacle is the Way. And without further ado, let's jump right into part two of my conversation with the man, Ryan Holiday. All right, I'd like to welcome back to the Coach Your Best podcast. We're in part two with my man, author, speaker, consultant, you name it, Ryan Holiday. Ryan, how are you, brother?
It's good to talk to you again.
In part one, we had a wonderful conversation about your book, The Obstacle is the Way. If you're listening now, you haven't listened to it, go back and check it out. But more importantly, get a copy of the book. Or you can do what I'm doing, which is getting a copy and giving it to every athlete I work with. So a lot of good stuff there. Ryan, I want to take a few minutes here in part two and talk about a new book that's about to come out called Ego is the Enemy. And I've read through this and reading through this again. Talk to us a little bit about what inspired you to write this book.
So for me, The Obstacle is the Way was about external obstacles. And then I wanted to focus next on what I think is sort of our biggest internal obstacle, our ego or ourselves, the way in which we sabotage our own success, either with grandiose fantasies or selfishness or micromanagement or, you know, overconfidence or greed or self, you know, that what Pat Riley calls the disease of me. So I wanted to focus on that because I think it's that internal obstacle and the inability to master it that makes dealing with our external obstacles even harder than they already are.
You know, right here in the beginning, in what you titled the painful prologue, and I really enjoyed reading this, but I highlighted this sentence because it is so true with athletes and coaches that I get to work with. And you say this: it's a story in which eventually your talent becomes your identity and your accomplishments become your worth. Talk to us a little bit about that statement, because that self-identity piece rings so true, where athletes struggle with the fact that you can't outperform your self-identity sometimes.
So I feel like my own career trajectory is not that unlike, you know, some of the athletes you probably deal with. You know, I dropped out of college. I sort of went pro early. You know, I was the director of marketing for a publicly traded company, you know, around my 21st birthday. I made, you know, really good money, self-taught, worked directly with really successful other people. I did work that was, you know, popular and well-known, and so I was successful early. And when you're successful early, you know, people throw things at you, you know, that you're a prodigy or that you're a star, you know, any number of labels that are positive in theory, but if you let them go to your head, that your work suffers. And especially if you've been good at something for a long time, for your whole life, your identity starts to get wrapped up in it. And that makes it very hard for you to be objective, to receive feedback, even to be as dedicated to that work as you need to be, because you think that it says something about you as a person, right? Rather than the work itself being what matters. And so, you know, you start to find yourself at, you know, 23, 24, or whatever, wrestling with some real demons. And these are demons that are a result of success. And so they're the hardest to deal with. And so, you know, I worked myself into a real corner, and I couldn't see things objectively anymore. It was harder for me to take feedback. And I watched mentors and people that I work with, I watched American Apparel go from a company worth, you know, north of $1 billion to being in bankruptcy, because I saw that same trajectory with, you know, people that I respected and admired and that I'd sort of been tutored or mentored by. And so for me, I think what you have to be able to do is separate your identity from the work, because the work is not always going to go well. If you feel like, excuse my language, if you feel like a bag of shit because you lost, that's gonna make it harder for you to see what you did wrong and what you need to learn from. In the same way that if you feel like you're a hero and the best there ever was because you won, you're also not gonna see all the areas that you had or needed to improve in, and that's gonna make you overconfident. Your performance is gonna suffer in the future.
You know, right here in the introduction, you lead with this quote from Richard Feynman. The first principle is that you must not fool yourself, and you are the easiest person to fool. So how does someone go about not fooling themselves?
So Feynman, he was a scientist. He worked on the Manhattan Project. He was a brilliant professor at Caltech. You know, he understood that you had to have these objective processes. You had to have your experiment and then your data. You had to look at the data objectively so you could evaluate if you were fooling yourself that you knew more than you did or that the data went your way. That was a recipe for disaster. It certainly wasn't a recipe for brilliant, creative, groundbreaking work. And so I think that's the same with all of the things that we do. You know, if you're convinced that, you know, your destiny is to be a superstar, that this is yours by right, you're not going to put the effort and the energy required day in and day out to actually earn that vision because you think it's coming your way. Or, you know, if you think that that you've arrived, that you've officially made it, and that you belong here now, that's the worst sort of complacency that you can have when there are thousands of other guys or gals who are gunning for your position, who want to dethrone you. So basically fooling yourself or ego is the worst possible variable that you could introduce, whether you're aspiring to do something great or you've already done something great and you're trying to maintain it.
So speaking of as aspire, you divide the book kind of similar in your previous book into three parts: aspire, success, and failure. Why did you pick those three?
Well, I feel like we're all at any one of those phases at one point or another, right? We're either, you know, we're striving after some goal, or we've achieved some goal, we have some success, or we're experiencing difficulty, or, you know, we've achieved some success and now we have a new goal, or we are aspiring to that new goal and then we failed, or it turned out to be harder than we thought. And so we're always at one of those places. And it's when we're at one of those places, ego is the one thing you don't want to let lead you astray.
You know, here in the success chapters of the book on page 124, again, I'm a big quote guy and I love the quotes that, you know, you lead with. But this one particularly rings true for me and what I deal with and hopefully can help with every day is on managing yourself. And this is the quote: it is not enough to have great qualities. We should also have the management of them. And that is, I think, one of the biggest obstacles. Speaking of obstacle is the way,
yeah.
You know, of people, to the point where You know, I like to use the words rely and leverage. And for me, in helping others in the world of performance, Ryan, I see athletes and coaches and parents too, but athletes and coaches in high performance, that they tend to rely on their talents instead of leveraging them. And managing oneself is usually what helps bridge that gap. So talk to us a little bit about what that means for you and why you put that in the book.
Yeah, I think I can give you an example. This sort of actually came after the book was done, but I sent an early copy to John Snyder, who's a GM at the Seahawks, and or he's the GM of the Seahawks. And he gave an interview after. Someone was asking, you know, how has he managed to work so well with Pete Carroll and have so little conflict, considering that's sort of not the norm. Usually the GM and the coach can often be at odds with each other. And he basically said, look, it's because there's no ego between us. We both want the same thing. We both want to win, and we're willing to work with each other. And I think, you know, at a certain level, it's not about talent, you know, about being a GM or a coach, but it's about your ability to manage that talent, to work with other people, to be part of a team, to subsume yourself for a larger mission. All of these things, which are really, you sum them up, they're management of your talent and management of your ego in service of a larger goal. And I think so often, you know, people's lives are in chaos, so it doesn't matter how talented they are. You know, they're sort of working through a haze or a fog, or you know, they are talented, but they've got this ego or this entitlement around them that makes it impossible for them to get the best out of other people's talent. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at someone like Kobe Bryant, who's obviously extraordinarily talented, but then you look at how rare, and it's almost these fleeting glimpses of greatness for him when he's able to actually be a part of a team with other people who are doing amazing. And so it's not just your talent, but as you said, it's how you leverage it and how it's able to be used in service of a joint goal, especially, I would say, in team sports.
Yeah. So, Ryan, what would you say right now to those coaches that just heard what you said and they're thinking, geez, that is me? You know, whether it's a coach listening to saying, our team could have such a greater chance of success and reaching what we're aspiring to, but the head coach, you know, has an ego and is still living when he was a great player. Or it could be an athlete listening now saying, our team could be so much better, but, you know, our best player's ego, we all can't fit in it. You know, what advice do you have kind of coming out of, you know, this book from a 50,000 foot view?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things there. I think one is, you know, the best way to address other people's egos is not to attack them. It's not to break them down or destroy them, because that's going to happen to them at some point, right? We all come face to face with the truth. But I think it's to lead by example. It's to say, hey, you know, this is me putting my ego aside for the good of the team. And that's how you get buy-in from other people. And I think that's essential. And, you know, the Stoics talk over and over again, you know, about making the distinction between what we control and what we don't control. And ultimately, we control only ourselves and we don't control other people. And so leading by example is the best way to potentially influence other people, but not control them. And then I think on top of that, you know, it's focusing on a shared purpose. It's meeting people where they are. And not being afraid, you know, provided that you're not making things out of, you know, making decisions out of ego, maybe somebody else's ego, maybe you play to that ego and you figure out a way to use it to your advantage. So there's also that pragmatism, you know, it's not trying to force everyone to be just like you, but to try to meet people where they are, to get the best out of them and to position yourself as someone who wants the best from everyone, because what matters is not you. What matters is not them. What matters is what you're trying to accomplish together.
Great, great advice. And, you know, I like to tag a little ending on meeting people where they are, Ryan, and love to get your idea on that. But yeah. I like to tell coaches that meet athletes where they are. Just don't leave them that way when you're done with them.
No, that's great. There's a line from Viktor Frankl where it's like, you know, if you take man for what he is, you make him worse. If you treat man as what he can be, you make him better. because we might not get there, but we're at least stretching to reach it. And I think that's the same thing. It's seeing people for their potential. It's trying to, you know, not evaluating them or holding some biased image of them at their worst, most frustrating, you know, most stressed out moment. You know, I think what's so impressive about Phil Jackson is, you know, his ability to work with these players, you know, from a Ron Artest or a Dennis Rodman or even, you know, Shaq and Kobe when they're feuding is to treat them with an incredible amount of patience and forgiveness. Whereas, like, you know, you or I, or, you know, probably not you because you do this, but I'd be like, guys, you're millionaires, you know, get it together. Stop being babies. But he was able to take them where they were and just push them to be just a little bit better. And that's when he got amazing performances out of them.
Oh, gosh, you know, again, the book here is Ego is the Enemy with Ryan Holiday. Ryan, when will this book be available? I've been lucky enough to have a copy, but every listener needs to get this book, too. This is great stuff.
You're way too kind, man. I really appreciate it. So the book's out June 14th, and it'll be in bookstores everywhere.
Oh, great. And where can the listeners go to find out more about you, follow you, kind of give us some background there?
Yeah. So you can go to my website, ryanholiday.net. I recommend books there every single month in an email list. And I'm at Ryan Holiday on Twitter as well.
All right, Ryan. Well, listen, thanks for your time as always.
Thanks so much, man.
Look forward to get you back on next year for maybe a new book.
I would love that.
We'll see.
All right.